This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's May 8th, and on this day in 1970, it was Willis Reed making his dramatic entrance prior to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. The New York Knicks and Los Angeles Lakers were tied at 3 games apiece, with a decisive game in New York at Madison Square Garden. Reed was the league MVP in 1970, averaging 22 points and 14 rebounds a game during the regular season. At 6 feet 10 inches tall, he was the man in the middle, and in this championship series, the man responsible for handling 7'2" Wilt Chamberlain. But Willis had torn his thigh muscle in Game 5 and had missed Game 6 because of it. With Reed not in the lineup, Wilt poured in 45 points and grabbed 27 rebounds in a 22-point blowout win for the Lakers. And with Reed expected to be out in Game 7, well, a similar outcome was predicted on this night. As both teams were warming up a few minutes prior to the game, Willis Reed walked out of the tunnel and onto the floor, in uniform, and ready to play. The crowd at the Garden erupted in a crescendo of cheers. Knicks' spirits were lifted. The Lakers, on the other end of the court, all stopped shooting and turned to see Reed walking towards the Knicks' basket to get ready for the game. In the locker room prior to this moment, Reed made the decision to, in essence, play on one leg against the greatest scorer in the NBA at the time because he didn't want to have to look at himself in the mirror 20 years later and say he wished he had tried to play. So he received a series of painkiller injections, and he walked out to this thunderous welcome. And what got the crowd and his teammates going even more were the 2 baskets he knocked down in the first 2 Knick possessions. Those would be the only points he would score in the game, but the boost those 4 points provided was astronomical. And while this will always be called the Willis Reed game, what gets overshadowed a lot is the game that Walt Frazier had that night. Frazier had 36 points, and he dished out 17 assists. He was a perfect 12 for 12 from the free throw line. Dick Barnett had 21, and Dave DeBuscher had 18 points, 17 rebounds. Reed played 27 minutes that night, mostly in the first half, and he was mobile enough to cause Wilt some problems. Chamberlain scored 21, pulled down 24 boards, but it wasn't nearly enough. The Knicks built an early double-digit lead and held it all the way to the end of the game, winning 113-99. It was the Knicks' first NBA championship in their 24-year history. Also on this day, in 1968, Catfish Hunter threw a perfect game for the Oakland Athletics against the Minnesota Twins. Hunter was a 22-year-old who was coming off a 13-17 season the previous year. On this day, though, he faced 27 Twins and sat them all down. He struck out 11, but he did live in the danger zone for most of the game. He went to full counts on 6 hitters and in the second ran the count to 3-0 on Tony Oliva before coming back with 3 straight strikes. The Twins' bats were anemic on this day. Only 5 balls were hit hard enough to make it out of the infield, and those were all corralled by the A's outfielders. It was the first perfect game in the majors since Sandy Koufax threw one in 1965, and the first by an American League pitcher since Don Larsen's perfect game in the 1956 World Series. In 2016, it was a statistical oddity when Washington Nationals slugger Bryce Harper tied a major league record for walking 6 times in a game. He was also hit by a pitch, which also doesn't count as an official at-bat, so he may have stepped to the plate 7 times against the Chicago Cubs on this day, but he officially had 0 at-bats. According to ESPN stats, it was the first time in at least the previous century that a player had reached base 7 times without recording a plate appearance. But the Cubs' skittishness to pitch to Harper actually paid off. Chicago won 4-3 in 13 innings. In the 4-game series with the Nationals that this game was a part of, the Cubs walked Harper a total of 13 times, also a record for walks by one player in a single series. In 2001, another baseball statistical oddity. I've talked about Roger Clemens and Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout performances in the previous weeks. Well, on this day, pitcher Randy Johnson struck out 20 in 9 innings, but it is not recognized along with the others by Major League Baseball. Johnson was pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks against the Cincinnati Reds on this day. Through 9 innings, Johnson had mowed down 20 Reds hitters. But the score was tied at 3 at the end of 9, and the game went to extras. Johnson was pulled for a reliever before the start of the 10th inning, but because the game officially went to extra innings, Johnson's achievement is grouped with most strikeouts thrown in an extra inning game, despite the fact he only pitched 9. And I'm guessing that you probably know the horse War Admiral from the Seabiscuit movie about their famous match race in November 1938. Well, on this day in 1937, War Admiral won the Kentucky Derby by 2 lengths over the closest contender. War Admiral was early in his racing career, but this was his 3rd win in 3 races. His reputation would obviously get bigger over the next year, winning the Triple Crown in 1937 and then 8 more races in 1938 before his meeting with Seabiscuit at Pimlico. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? More than half of the world's lakes are located in Canada. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.